Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Witted.
Okay, listeners, welcome to the show again today. I brought back a very good colleague of mine, friend of mine, brother in Christ, Dr. Robert Guarini. Thank you for coming back to the show again.
It's my pleasure.
Our previous conversation was great. We actually had to cut it short. Just the spirit was moving, a lot of great information coming out. And so we talked, and what we wanted to do with this show is to take many of the things that he said and bring them down to the local church in a very practical sense. So one of the things that we talked about is that our songs need to be shaped by sound theology. And he also made another profound statement that we have to make sure as worship pastors, or some people call it minister music, this is a person that's leading that music ministry, that we have to make sure that it's balanced. And the statement you made, Dr. Guarini, was that we need to make sure that the theology of the songs, making sure that it's rooted in scripture, but that we get that inside of the heart of the worship team. So the first thing I want to talk about quickly on this show is song selection. Give the listeners maybe 3 to 4 tips. Those of us who are leading worship, picking songs, what are some things that we need to do to make sure that we're picking songs that have sound theology?
Yeah. So the first thing that needs to be said, and I think every worship leader knows this, but it still needs to be said, you are always in a working relationship with your lead pastor. The worship leader is never, unless you are the lead pastor, working exclusively from the pastor. So everything that you do needs to be done with the pastor. Now, some pastors are hands-off. They say, I trust you. You do your thing. Here's what I'm preaching. Some pastors want to know every set list. And so whatever that working relationship, keep that alive and feed that relationship. But what do we do with how do we pick songs? Now, do we do it based on scripture passages, or do we do it based on theme, or do it? Well, there's a lot of ways to get at this, and so I'm going to give you a couple tips. The first one would be, and this is something that I try to do and challenge myself with, is I ask myself, what part of the biblical narrative are we singing and rehearsing this morning? I said, well, what does that mean? Well, are we going to be rehearsing the narrative of Jesus Christ going to the cross for our sins? If that's it, okay, well, then let's have that then be the thread between our song choices. So, for instance, we don't want to do a song that is solely focused on the work of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost if our thread for that week is the atonement of Christ. Now, well, those aren't not competing perspectives, but what happens is it muddies the theological picture. So I like to say, well, let's make a clear picture. And the thread, it might not be obvious to the people in the congregant singing what the thread was, but the theology, if it's coherent and consistent, will communicate that gospel message. Yeah. And so if the pastor says, well, we are spending a month and we're talking about, you know, what pastor says the atonement of Jesus, some of them, but maybe there's something more like giving to God your best. Okay, that sounds like a sermon series, right? Okay, well, then you as the worship leader say, okay, so what am I looking at? I'm giving to God my best. Well, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll go to a scripture verse and then try to re-engineer the song based on the scripture verse. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But what you need to do is say, find your thread, and we call it the golden thread. Find that golden thread, and that's the thread that needs to be weaved through every song. And then that will help you pick your songs. You say, well, I don't have a clue where to start on that. Well, certainly the scriptures are a great place. So what does the gospel have to say about giving to God your best? You could even ask the pastor, what are your primary texts for the sermon? Look at them. And they are not a catalog for you. They are the word of God. So sit down and read them and meditate on them and say, okay, here's where the focus needs to be. And then take that, and that will inform all of your song selections. It's not easy, right? I come from a tradition of what we would typically call tabernacle concept of worship. That is, we start at the outer gate, we go into the holy of in the inner gate, and then we're in the holy of holies. It's like this progressional. That's just something my church theology has kind of inherited, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's the context that I'm in, so I need to use that. A lot of churches go from fast, medium to slow songs, right? And a lot of worship leaders will say, okay, I just play my songs fast, medium, slow. And I'm not making a knock on you. I also need to do that because it's in my context. But I can say theologically, where my fast songs theologically, do they hit the hammer on this head? Yes, that's the one I'm going to go with, right? So use the scriptures to inform and first establish your thread, and then use the scriptures to inform your song selection. Second, you can go with a theme. maybe it's more loosely based. I had a pastor, an elder of ours, actually last week said, I had already created the worship order, I had everything planned. He said, hey, I'm preaching this week. I want you to do worship songs that are about God as Father. And I don't want them to be statements so much about God, but I want them to be songs that help us enjoy the goodness of God. Okay, well, that's a lot of touchy-feely good stuff. Like, okay, well, what am I going to do? Well, what I went down, I said, what part of the story do I need to tell? Well, I need to tell the part of the story where Jesus says, you know, if your children ask you for a snake, or for a fish, you're not going to give them a snake.
Right.
If they ask you for bread, you're not going to give them a stone. Well, you guys are evil. And being evil, you give good things to your children. How much more in your Father in heaven, right? So that's the theological thread there. So how do I, then I'm going to build a set out based on that. And so I go there, and now I'm working with a theme, right? God is a good father, right? So you think like, oh, good father, that's definitely the song. Okay, well, that's one song, maybe. And there are tons of songs. I'm just pulling from my tradition. But I basically looked at that, and I said, okay, here's all the songs that have the word father in them. That's not enough. Do these songs actually point to this actual message and this thread? And if they don't, what do I do? Well, I take them, and we talked about this briefly, and I will frame them in the scriptures. And then the scriptures have the theology that's the thread. And the songs then become the response to that theology. A very basic and simple example of this is I just led a song last night here at the Writers' Conference that said, what a beautiful name it is. Great song, right? Some people have some theological qualms with it, as is every single song. But I said, well, what can I do to give this song robust theology? Well, I didn't get up there and comment on the lack of robust theology in the song. I got up there, and what did I do? I quoted from memory, because it's one of the things I've committed to memory. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Well, what did that do? Well, people started looking at that and said, okay, the gospel is being preached to them, right? And let's not underestimate the gospel being preached. So the Word is being preached to them, and I've set their focus on that. Well, the first line of that song is, you were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Well, that's a statement, but now that statement is tied to the theology of the Scriptures. I basically said, this is the true sound theology. Now we're going to sing these little fragments, right? And then I also said, yeah, He was the Word in the beginning, but that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Well, that next verse says, and this is where there's people who have problems with it, that you didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down, right? Now, some people are like, well, this makes this about us, and it's not about us. And that's a valid argument. But what I've just done is said, this Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? He's here in the flesh. He became part of. Well, that's, what did He do? Philippians says that He literally condescended, right? He was God. Mm-hmm. He became man. He condescended to us. Well, I've just framed that in Scripture. So now when you're singing that line, you're not thinking, Jesus loves me and I'm so important. You're going, I'm reflecting on the fact that of the incarnation.
Exactly.
Christ came down. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that's just a poetic way of saying it. You didn't want heaven without us, so you brought heaven here, right? And so I just tied that to a true theological concept. So that's what I mean. If the song has the word like Father or Jesus or give God your best in there, but it doesn't have the theological thread, well, the Scriptures provide that. Frame it first. And you don't have to quote the Bible, memorize it, and preach it.
And the crazy thing that we keep going back to, not crazy, it's true, what we can't escape in all of this is you've got to be committed to the Scripture. You can't do this. All right, so we have, you know, the relationship with the pastor. That's a whole other show in itself. We have what you just talked about framing it, finding that golden thread. So that's two. Do you have any other tips for song selection?
Yes, I think this is probably the thing that I have learned the hard way, and I made some mistakes. I've been leading worship for 12 years in the same place. It's a long time. I tried to fix the theology of our songs. Tried to fix the style of our songs. I tried to fix all the things that are wrong and can be wrong with songs in all kinds of ways. But one thing that you have to avoid, I like the term worship pastor rather than music minister or worship leader, because you are pastoral and you are a musician pastor. There are pastoral elements of worship leading. You can't escape
them.
Even if you don't have the title or don't want the title of pastor, there are pastoral elements of worship leading. You have to understand and know intimately your congregation's native expression of worship. So what that means is I have in the past tried to do more liturgical, high church liturgical forms of worship in my non-liturgical Pentecostal charismatic church. It didn't work. And the reason it didn't work is not because our people are so bad. It's because it's not their understanding. It's not their framework of worship. And so what I did is I divorced the native expression of worship in our congregation, and I tried to force something else on it. It'd be like me going into an Episcopal church and trying to do a Stephanie Frizzle song from Bethel. They would probably leave. It's not going to work. My job is not to conform anyone to any specific style of worship. Worship transcends style. And I might think, well, this worship style is better. But that's not my job. My job is not to make the worship style of my congregation what I prefer the most or I think is the best. My job is to pastor the people that I'm leading worship over. And so what I need to do is contextualize everything that I'm doing to the people I'm serving. Because you might have a great, really great way to communicate the gospel in worship for an Episcopal liturgy, but if you can't do it in a charismatic free church like mine, then what are you doing as the worship pastor? You're called to do that. And so, practically speaking, make sure you know your people, know how they worship. Our people are people who respond. I have so many interviews with people who they can't get their people to raise their hands and clap. We can't get our people to stop talking in line for Eucharist, right? It's like we want them to be more sober. And there are other people who are like, we can't get them excited about anything. Well, I'm not going to spend all my energy trying to get people excited. They're already excited. I want to focus that excitement. I want to make that excitedness and jubilance and exuberance. I want to make it full of purpose and full of worship. So please contextualize any implementations you have to your congregation. Your congregation is not there to serve your theological whims. You are there to serve them. And so take anything that you do and you say, okay, here's what I want to do. How do I do that here? Not how do I do that ideally. How do I do it for the church and the people that I serve?
And that, I'm sure that if you would agree, that will cross over. We got to think, you know, culturally. We got to think generationally. We got to think all these things come into play, you know.
You're so right.
So all that comes with that. So we've talked about the connection with the pastor. We've talked about finding that golden thread and framing that theology. Now, you know, making sure that you are sensitive to the culture of the people, their age, all those things. Give us one final thought about song selection.
Final thought about song selection. Please do your best to reference the Trinity in worship. I think one of the most I learned this from a professor of mine, Lester Ruth. We are, as evangelicals, as non-denominational Christians, charismatics, we don't do well with framing the songs we sing in the Trinity. We either sing about Jesus and only Jesus, or we sing about the Holy Spirit and only the Holy Spirit. Almost none of us sing only about the Father. But please do your best to say, to step away and examine and say, are you eating a whole meal? Right? And that kind of gets back to what we talked about last time. You're the nutritionist. If you're only eating eggs, you need some vegetables. If you're only eating vegetables, you need some protein, beans, meat. There's, right? So when you take your song selection, not just look at it thematically. Don't just look at it scripturally, but look at it as an entire meal. Now, this is not for that week. This should be for the year, because you can't eat every food group in every meal, right? This is not possible. And if you did it, you'd make yourself sick. So my point is, the first one doesn't need to be about the Father, and the second about the Son, and the third about the Holy Spirit. That's not my point. Is your diet Trinitarian? So that means look at year-end review of, here's the songs that we sang. Again, this is going to take work. What do we sing the most about? Okay, next year I'm going to highlight a little more. If we sang mostly about Jesus, we're going to keep singing about Jesus. This year, I'm going to do 4 more songs over the year about the Holy Spirit. And then the next year, then that's built into your repertoire. Then the next year, you're going to build some more about the Father. And you're never going to get to the place where it's always perfect. But the diet for the year, not just the week.
So we're just building this very balanced, comprehensive theological diet that encompasses all that Scripture teaches. And the more that we build on it, the better that it gets.
Yeah. Correct. And it doesn't, and please don't misunderstand me. If your church is a church that is emphasis is the cross of Christ, and that's what you teach from the pulpit, it's okay to have your songs reflect that more so than the Father and the Son or their role, their active. It's not about everybody getting their own parts. Lester, my professor Lester Ruth, Dr. Ruth, he would tell it like this, that the Trinity needs to tag team each other in. We don't want to sing about them in isolation from one another. They're not 3 different gods. They're not 3 different modes of God. They're all God. So they kind of tag team in with each other. So think about it that way. So we might say the emphasis of our ministry at Rock Church is the Holy Spirit. But that's not to the default of the detriment of the role of Christ and the Father. But it also means that, yeah, no matter what, our songs are going to be more forward on the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's okay as long as we do also have the presence of the other contemplations.
Awesome, man. So listeners, you've gotten 4 great tips that can really help you pick some songs that can be very balanced, strengthen that relationship with your senior pastor, really build your relationship with your congregation and overall just strengthen the biblical foundation and theology of your congregation, which are all pastoral roles. So again, Dr. Guarini, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure in the future we're going to have you on again. But until then, sir, God bless you, and we'll be talking.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.